Well, we'd like to welcome you once again back to the Saturn-Earth connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and this is hour 62. Today is the 21st of October, 08. And we're listening to Michael in Maui. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello. It's good to have you back, and I just wanted to remind people that Michael was in his backyard. He boarded a crystal craft and was taken to Saturn, from Maui to Saturn. Isn't that right?
That's true.
And you still have marks in your backyard to this. People can still see it on the website.
Yeah, the grass is no longer that tall, but it's still there. That spot, especially that anchor point where the light beam seemed to have one ray that went all the way to the ground. It was quite beautiful. It was a ship, you might say, of light. And not a metallic ship, not one like you could take a nice picture of. Yet it was much more advanced than some other descriptions of other types of ship, because it was really a vessel that had real control over light. And of course it has left some marks in my backyard, which are nice in a sense, because they look like a bullseye, a target center point. And I think we have got one minor circle and a larger circle. The diameter, the radius of the circle would be about, the outermost area would be approximately 15 feet to the outer radius of the arc. And anyway, that remains. I've showed it to some people and they just, they said, yeah, I can see it very clearly, but, I don't know about what you're saying caused it. They couldn't, it was a little bit too outrageous for their mentality.
Well, since they didn't, if they did see it, they'd have the same trouble you have trying to explain it to other people and getting that look they get.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Well, I see that.
But it was very obvious. In fact, the outer ring, when I mow the grass down, obviously there. You see the grass growing right up to the edge of the rings, and you can walk the arc. In fact, you can see it really clearly. And it's not an animal trail, because animals, don't like to, like straight, easy areas. Why would they make an arc,
Mm-hmm.
And one that is for the radius of the center point. Anyway, this is there, yeah. It's there for real. And Saturn, as I was later given the name of the place that was taken, which is some people, I guess Riley Martin called it the mothership, but it's much, much more than that. And the name is the New Jerusalem, and that is the actual name of the place. And it is been there for quite some time.
Quite some time before
a couple thousand years at least, yeah.
Before the pyramids,
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. And
what was going on Earth when it arrived, and how did it arrive?
It arrived in. This is not something I was told in a sense, but in a sense of what I understand. It arrived synchronization with the bestowal of creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, when he came to Earth. Prior to that, there were other types of craft or ships or architectural, but there was no architectural world, mini one. You might say this is not an architectural world because it's small. It is, you know, those that are described in the Urantia book, which was, of course, introduced to me there at the in Jerusalem, out in Saturn, by my teacher, the highest level teachers there around, Adeno. He pointed out that it's very old, and it's like the age of Rome. When I went to Rome, and I didn't know. He said, "When you go to Rome," I didn't believe I would go to Rome, but I ended up going there recently. And take a look at the nicest areas in Rome, and it's you'll see how it is still looking new. And I said, "Yeah, it looks brand new, like it was just finished and beautifully finished." And yeah. He was drawing a parallel of its age, and it's quite old. It's been there quite some time. However, you know, prior to its arrival, there were other ships that were involved in quelling the Lucifer Rebellion, which has still a legacy here on Earth. We are, in the sense, still under the Lucifer Rebellion's philosophy, you might say. Most recently in the news, there's going to be some statements that initially drawed me out to the middle of my backyard that night, where I cried out, "God, you are real. I know you are real. And if you could just send, just make yourself real to me, or send someone who would help me understand, because I know you're real." And then at that point, my cry out, which was, I guess, must have been quite telepathic, that's when I saw what appeared to be a beautiful bright star appear. And today that statement, which caused me to go out there, which is, God is, God does not exist, or God is dead. The idea that I had was the prevailing concept of God is dead. So go out and enjoy yourself. Go enjoy your life. Now, hedonism, or going out for the basis of like a warrior, going out and doing battle, and it says, "Let's eat and drink and be merry, and for tomorrow we die." Concept of that is being now going to be pasted along on those buses. When I went to London, I rode those nice double-decker buses, and running around and taking pictures of everything, like any old tourist was. And that's where I learned the concept of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem would be like a summer home, you might say, or a palace, or a castle in the country. And that is, in a sense, what brought it here. And it remains here, and awaiting again the arrival of Jesus Christ, or Christ Michael, or the Creator Son, the Son of God, you might say, the one who allowed the entire experience to happen. It would not have interfered with me and been representative of, in terms of answering that request, if it wasn't approved, and it was. And as a result, I got to meet, you might say, aliens or extraterrestrial beings who have body, who have humanoid exterior appearance, and also those who are not. And all of those realize exactly what I was asking for, and all of those are saying, "Yes, God is real." So that statement that is now being posted on basically atheistic, an atheist statement being posted purchased advertising on these buses in London, I think it's going to be, are now, you know, it's going to take shape, I guess, over there. But just totally contrary to what I discovered, and it was true. He did send someone. It happened to be Dan and Nella. And a few others, you know, actually ended up becoming a big involvement with it. Quite a lot of things going on. And, that's what I'm sharing. And as well as I'm marveling at some of the things that were told to me, which was, don't trouble yourself. I won't trouble you in trying to tell you how things work here, because what you see here, much of it will be available to you on Earth in a short time, within your lifetime. And it's happening in the computer systems. And even right now, with the I'm amazed. I thought what I'd never see would be the regeneration chambers. And, of course, one that would be attuned to ourselves, our human form. And we're at that stage where, you know, it seemed to have been put together, Curtis, by others that you might say are in a type of influential position. It may have influenced you heavily in creating the site Hello Earth and Electricity for Health, as well as giving me room to share my experience, which is, seems to tie it all into a nice, hopefully, a ball of truth, you know. And truth, when found, is really freeing. It really frees you up. It makes you not so afraid of the terror of the unknown. Much more the discovery of more and more truth, and that's what's happening here.
Well, it was wonderful last week, that hour, the last hour you did, that was hour 61. It made me feel really great to hear you talk about your knee and the improvement and your health, and especially the part when you said the parasites, so maybe they like to eat that soft tissue, and the medical profession calls it arthritis, but they call it lunch and breakfast.
Yeah, they call it lunch. Yeah.
They just eat away, and our bones are cracking. But I didn't want it to sound like a commercial, but it's just lightning in a box, and it's good for you. And just... thank you, yes. Nikola Tesla and Soda Instruments. They made a magnificent piece of equipment. And I'm just glad this all came together. They were great to talk to, and Tesla is an amazing person that people just need to read more and more about. One of the books, excuse me, Lightning in His Hand, The Life Story of Nikola Tesla. Or also, PBS has a very good video on Tesla. And I can't think of the PBS book offhand. It's across the room. Maybe it's called The Master of Lightning. And... PBS puts out that book. That is a wonderful book that really has photographs in it that are really lost. And there's lots of old articles about Tesla going back to the 1800s, and I have a few of those articles. But my grandmother knew all about him or remembered him, but they just wanted to not have him in the history books. So it was really nice that last hour, and hope it didn't sound like a commercial, but I'll tell you, that was wonderful what you had to say, Michael, and your experience with just oxygen. Like Marcy said to me this morning, we used to take this stuff called Liquid Life. Came in a little tiny jar, $25, put a few drops in the water. But this ozonator, this, we're not putting anything in the water. No concoction or anything. This is just breaking the oxygen in half and bubbling it through.
Yeah, O3, you know. So, yeah, extra, and then you become, you know, it becomes very good and easy for our bodies to uptake rather than to try to breathe it. Or we can, you know, people pay a lot of money for the same result, going to oxygen bars, you might say, sitting in an oxygen tent. Or people had burns at one time, severe burns, you put them in an oxygen tent and to help the healing and stuff like that. But there's much more that goes on. I know one of the things that I'm pretty sure about is it increases your basal metabolism. And essentially, by doing that, it makes you younger. Even my young daughter, in her, you know, 20, 22, it's like, wow. She says it gives her more energy. I said, I think I might have some holes in my idea about making you younger, because there she is. She kind of knows it right off.
Yeah, she's already younger, but it makes her feel good.
Yeah, and that's amazing. Well, anyway, Nikola Tesla is one of the things I've said before was that after the 1972 encounter and being taken away, I was brought back, and one of the very early first things that happened to me was I became a Christian, and I began my studies of the Bible. I was already studying various Eastern philosophies and religions, Shintoism, Buddhism, various Hindu-type Eastern, and Christianity was just, you know, something I had around, but it became much more real, extremely real. And not all Christians today agree in the experience that I was given, but that was under the guidance and influence of the Celestials who had brought me the information, allowed me to go and experience it in a real sense in the actual New Jerusalem and return to Earth, in which I continued this education. And also included with that was my introduction to Nikola Tesla, not in a way of in exactly the same way I experienced the truth we've been taken to the New Jerusalem. Was I was introduced to Nikola Tesla in building and playing with his Tesla coil, and working with various arrangements in what we now know, and we realize is that his invention, which was radio, and at that point I became an amateur radio operator also, although I was around amateur radio all my life, because my dad was an amateur radio operator, and I later became very intrigued with electricity. And electricity was, of course, described as some of the, some of which powers the rejuvenation chamber or the regeneration chamber, that which was spoken to me and told to me and described as, so if you go in there, you live forever. And I was often tempted. I walked by it the second time. I was real tempted to just go take a breakaway and run and jump in it, but ended up picking up my heart's desire and actually escorting me in there, and I found out that it was in tune to my body. It would have killed my body. He says you, and they made the distinction. This is interesting. They made the distinction in saying, "Oh, if you go in there right now, your body will die." The comment that I heard, the operator who was in there, the woman had already left, and he said, "That's where I saw, you know, didn't make you look young. Like she looked middle aged. She didn't look like, you know, like a teenager when she came out. she was awfully happy. But after that, speaking to each other, my guide and this operator, he said that doesn't he need his body? And I said, oh, yes. And he does need his body. And he turned to me and says, you know, if you go in there, your body will die. And that distinction was that they didn't consider me dying or who I was dying. They said that my body would die. Now, this is interesting because there was more to it than I was able to understand at the time. And I take that distinction as being quite real because of the fact that along with the movement, I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but there's certain movements that can happen, of course. And biblically, the term resurrection is a way of pointing out a type of soul implantation or retransfer, where you actually have the ability to move into essentially another body. And this is something they do, I think, fairly often without much trouble. And I think it only is open to a certain level of these aliens, which I was lucky enough to be actually allowed to move with or to be with. And again, I was given some insight that it wasn't me choosing them. They chose me. They chose to be responsible for the consequences of coming to know them. And of course, they put me into a position where I wouldn't remember the details right away, but they promised that I would remember it at the appropriate time, and I'm not revealing all of this. And it makes a lot of sense why it should be revealed now. And most importantly is that much of it has to do with how we can take advantage of the knowledge, how we can take advantage of just knowing the fact that they've been there a long time. In fact, in responsible for what we are as human beings here on Earth, because they had a whole lot to do with what makes everything on our planet real in terms of life and in terms of it being a beautiful world. It's quite beautiful in comparison to many of the other worlds that are out there. And this was a high privilege, yes. And I hope I can share some of the reality, and at least some of that reality is placed in your section there. Not by my design, Curtis. You have electricity for health, and it's not by my design that we have any of that technology on your website that is the bits and pieces of the regeneration chamber. And that's one way you can take advantage of a celestial experience. And I think it is something that's been held back from us. Did you agree, Curtis?
Yes, it certainly has been held back.
It's like, why hold it back? But there's no profit involved, you know, and this stuff is freely available to anyone who could do a little bit of tinkering and experimenting and stuff. And well, now you can take advantage of somebody else's hard efforts and just. Now, after tinker and play with, gone past, I looked at cycles of development of products and introduction of products into the marketplace, and we would look at the cycles and we'd say, oh, this is the cycle of the early cycle, which is the cycle of the innovator, the one who innovated. And of this, this pretty particular protocol that you have on your website has been called the Beck protocol, Bob Beck protocol. Is that correct? And and that he was considered a by the marketers as a innovator, and then they have along with that all the group that innovated along with him, even building units, making the various units, and then after that you have the early adopters, and then you have after the early adopters you have those who are in the general marketplace, the real marketplace. And that's where the market is right now, and it's interesting where that's where you begin to be able to move some of the units. And by the way, I don't make any money off of that. I'm not in it for profit. I'm just saying the very trying to fulfill some of my promise. This is one way that some of the celestial experience that is out there, you can experience right here on Earth, and for the benefit of good health. And surprisingly, it's really a quite remarkable technology, the ozonator, the ozone water generator, things like that.
It is surprising. When you said your arthritic knee was so much better, all of a sudden Marcy's swinging her arms around and she goes, yeah, my arms feel good and my hip feels good, come to think of it.
That's true, that's true. And, you know, over time I think that there'll be some of these things that were, you know, degrading our lifestyle as we get older. And I'm going to be like 57 pretty soon.
Slowing us down.
And get a you know, actually I got a like a regress in age, whatever, you know, these damages that happened from just living life. And some of them was like the knee. It was that particular arthritic knee was injured, you know, in a motorcycle accident once. And it caused it to wear out, you know, osteoarthritis. But it's not necessarily only caused by wear and tear. It's something happens that it doesn't want to, you know, regenerate itself, or it doesn't get lubricated enough or something like that. Anyway, it's not 100%. That's, I want to make that clear. But it's not a pain in my knee anymore. That's a big deal, you know.
And you've only been using this ozonator for a few, 3 months?
Yes, that's true.
That's not very long.
It's not very long, and it's got that kind of result. And I did get the silver pulser, and I did play with it. Actually, not play with it, but I actually used it. I just turned it off for the broadcast, or the podcast. And it's interesting. And the technology, I understand quite well. And interestingly enough, it uses square wave pulses, which are, I was remarking to you earlier about Tesla's invention of the radio system, which was nothing more than sparks. Basically, the spark gap created a whole mess of broad range of frequencies in that arc and spark. And this silver pulse uses a square wave electrical pulse that generates a whole bunch of harmonics and subharmonics. And I could feel them. I could actually feel the ringing. I would call it ringing. And those are the subharmonics, and they have a lot to do with interfering with the comfort zone of the bad guys in our blood. And I'm not sure, you know, if they're you know, dealt with in just one treatment, but we'll find out. And it seems to be not giving me any problems right now. I haven't, you know, died of cardiac arrest from too much electrical energy.
Well, when you had your Tesla coil, you said you transmitted so much electricity through your body that sparks were coming out of your fingers.
Yeah, a little bit, and we transferred the energy. We held hands, and had fun with lighting up fluorescent bulbs and drawing an arc from where we could find it, you know, on good ground. And the fluorescent bulb would be the actual point in which the arc starts, lights up the bulb, the fluorescent bulb around our hands, and then of course on the other side would be ourselves, you know, and play around with that way. And there'll be arcs, these little arcs. You could feel them, but it wasn't going to kill you. High frequency, extremely high frequency radio, because it was loosely coupled. The first, your Tesla coil works on like a transformer, and essentially a magnetic field and arc, creating a the arc is very important. It creates the high-frequency, high-voltage energy, electrical energy, that excites the movement of the first coil, which creates, of course, this ability to couple electromagnetically to the secondary, which is a whole bunch of tightly wound coils and loosely coupled, and then we strike that first arc, starts it up, we use a neon sign transformer and an arc spark gap, we call it. And then switch into the primary coil, and the secondary was just all this wire we wound up on nothing more than a cardboard tube. And then we started the whole thing up. And it coupled and created a nice high voltage, high frequency energy coil called the Tesla coil, named after Tesla. And we had fun with that. And it's interesting how I came to know all about that within only a couple of months after the experience. I think it must have been in about, not a couple of months, it must have been about 10 months later. Yeah.
I see. And,
it's still pretty closely aligned. And they told me they would continue teaching me things. And I guess that's how things happen. You just get led around. Find these types of experimenters, and you end up with them and having fun together and learning about all this stuff. And now finding out about how all of that ends up here on Earth. And it's really something that we rediscovered and are using and are tuned to ourselves physically. It won't kill us.
People can go on the web and just type in YouTube. And
yes.
Go to YouTube and then type in Tesla coil. T-E-S-L-A. Nikola Tesla. So type in Nikola Tesla coil and you'll see a lot of people who have made coils and see those big sparks.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty interesting. And this is just a miniature version of it.
Yeah, and of course there's really big ones, the big Tesla coils, they call them lightning generators already. They're so big. And
he made one in Colorado Springs that was huge.
Oh, yeah. There's one in California somebody makes it. They use that for really testing EMF, electromagnetic pulse, and stuff like that. I think they did something on the Mythbusters concerning about being in a car and charged by a struck by lightning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use that unit. Anyway, that's so much for Tesla coils, but Tesla was one of the ones that did early experiments and discoveries. And by the way, the discoveries, Tesla openly said that he would get these in dreams and visions.
Yes. And everything worked.
He was actually, you might say, bombarded with dreams and visions of all of this stuff. And was just driven to create some of this stuff.
Well, driven's a good word, because that's what his whole life was creating these patents and proving these inventions of his work.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have surfaced, and other ones haven't surfaced yet.
Yes, some of them have. There's some papers that are out on the internet, but that's only a portion that has been found. And apparently, who took all those papers when he died? CIA or somebody?
That was Otto Serenzi and Yehar Gelin.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they did him in.
And they haven't
they
released
took
them,
the papers.
I don't know where all the papers went. But.
Well, they're probably in the same place as his 1930 Pierce Arrow electric car.
Oh, yeah, the free energy car.
It's probably in the basement of the CIA building in the secret vault. That's where all Tesla's other stuff is.
And that comes to a point, and I just wanted, I was kind of feeling very strongly about, really, when it comes down to all of this free stuff, and how come a lot of it is geared toward the engine of finance? Can't make money with it, why put it out there? And if, it frees up people of, new technologies out there for a hydrogen car or something, buy out the technology, or you somehow get rid of the inventor or something, because it upset the cart in terms of finance. And it reminded me, how the celestials, who took me there, have sent me one very profound waking vision, which I described about being in this what was shaped like a fuel oil tank, storage tank, but was made out of sandstone and with all these hieroglyphic type carvings on it, which were not the correct time period of being in Egypt, but were symbolic of when the whole mess started, of the financial and controlling the masses and all of this stuff, controlling your food supply, control the energy, control the money. All of this stuff was very old, but in terms of it breaking down, and now we see it having somewhat broken down. But one of the interesting points I made was that I was somehow just on the spur of the moment, we ended up going to Buenos Aires and experienced Argentina, and they just went through a big financial meltdown, and they're doing great, and the common people, the regular people, the everyday people just have no qualms about it to make it through. The ones that have big changes were those who are essentially maybe part of the cause of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what is happening right now, is that some of the cause of this problem and the financial meltdown that we have right now are going to be restructured, redone. And what message I have and was given to point out was that when this engine of finance, this continual change of that center figure of control finally stopped. The tank itself broke, and about one third of it opened up, and there was blue sky and life on the outside. And if you remain in the broken engine of the tank, you'll be dancing in the streets, essentially. Somehow, we've got to find our way out of it. There is a very, very similar description in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, concerning this event that we're just going through right now. And it's in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, in terms of the breakdown of the financial, or this very ancient mystery that is being revealed to us more and more right now. And that mystery was described in the book of Revelation as Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, it really describes, when you look at it in its form, really describes commerce and finance and the engine that makes products, and many of them not necessary. One of the things that was up, that was sold in this movement of goods, you saw described in the book of Revelation as all this accessory stuff, you know, spices and different types of high fashion fabric like silks and things like that. And interestingly enough, what was also described was the lives and the souls of men. Souls of men actually bought and sold or moved are an experience which you might say the debt system, the debt and debtor system of finance that was popularized and is in this turmoil of being restructured right now, is that set at liberty those who are captive. This is one of the most important factors that is happening now, but you've got to. As a person, if you're caught up in that tank that has now been broken open, look out for life. You don't have to be stuck in the rut, you might say. You know, tromping around with the system, because the system is broken. The system is not going to be the same, and you have a chance, and we all have a chance right now to essentially reshape it, and that is our responsibility right now. And I pointed it out last time, I think, how interesting your lifestyle is, Curtis, over there on the river, and how you essentially are somewhat decoupled from the system, but you said you like electricity.
I love electricity.
Yeah, yeah. And over here, I've got a couple of solar panels that have moved in that direction. Maui has been one of the pioneering areas in biodiesel, and I've got a diesel generator now, and I've got ways of making that even more efficient with the use of HHO, and decoupling from the real system that really is causing some people a lot of trouble. Or if you look out at beyond the walls of the broken sandstone tank, is the archaic ancient system that is now broken, and look beyond that and see the green forest and the blue sky and the life that goes on out there, is our challenge to find a way to rediscover it. And, as a result, we'll have a much greener world, a much more balanced environment that will be good for quite a long time. I guess I'm not quite able to give a dimension to the time, but started off right within our lifetime and moving many, many, many generations into the future. And this was interesting because I was also shown a picture of I wasn't sure if it was Earth or it was another civilization that had grown green. And it was interesting to see, because what we know as the freeway inner structure was now without use, because, of course, if you had the technology of levitation and moving without need for putting tires underground, and you don't have any need for a highway system. What was interesting was those highway systems were turned into kinds of like farms, because the road was there for, you know, right there. Everything could be delivered right on. So it was surrounded by green, and people lived far away from, there's no real central area. People had their own space all around, yet they were never essentially alone. This was interesting to be viewing that. I think we're given that chance to make that choice right now, and more people are realizing that's the right choice to make, to go green and be decoupled from the energy and the finance system that is out there, and live on the river and like electricity.
Yeah. Well, electricity is wonderful. As soon as you lose it, now you got to open the book that you've been reading and have more time. And electricity back on yet? Nope, not yet. So do you lose power over there once in a while, Michael?
Yeah, we've had some occasions where we lost power. It was interesting that way back when we had big power failures in the in Canada, I theorized that the sun had created a very large corona discharge that overloaded the grid, the power grid. And today, that is considered true science.
Yes.
Considered true. Space weather is considered an important part of watching out for, essentially being part of our repertoire of things to watch out for, and space weather. And from that, we'll also be able to draw a lot of our energy, because there's more to electricity than we already are playing around with. So, way back in the vacuum tube days, I used to sit in the back of the TV and not look at the front, they look in the back and be amazed at looking through the little holes in the masonite. could see the tubes glowing and wondering,
that's right.
I don't see any gears turning. I don't see anything happening. How does all of this work?
Yeah, there's no motor in there.
Yeah,
nothing's turning.
There's nothing, there's no mouse in a little squirrel cage. You're running around making the picture move across the screen, And I spent so much time back there rather than in the front watching the TV. But, that's how marveled at it, generating the concept of electricity in a different form and in moving. There's so much, much more. If you look at that term of what electricity is and what we are having right now in the computer, and how much more intelligent we can actually make electricity. It's actually got so much more to go, so much more ahead of our development yet to do. And yet, right now, thanks to you, Curtis, we can experience some of the old regeneration chamber that I thought I wouldn't see. Little pieces of it here on Earth.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. That's I was always wondering what you thought when you first saw it say Electricity for Health on the website. What did you think of that?
The first thing that came to my mind was the regeneration chamber.
Oh.
But I didn't, you know, I didn't talk about it.
Sounds like a thought adjuster put it there.
There's just too much to mention. There's a lot to do with the certain capacities which the religions of the world want to hold, essentially God, the God in this box and control him.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, that's what they do. Because they said this is the limits of our, you know, and you've got to think only this way. But there's so much more to discover, so I was trying to free people's minds and open them up to realize that there's a whole community of celestial beings that really serve and worship in their service God, you know. And they make no bones about it. That's the way they do business.
When you say that's the way they do business, what do you mean?
Well, you know, we've seen business and we've seen finance break down, right?
You're right.
And it's done because of trying to control things and the big bankers and the debt load and the abilities of laws to take away things from people. Stuff over there. If you need it, you grow it. You need it. You want it. Yeah. Here, you know, this is your room. In a sense, this is, I go, and what? And I didn't understand it. And he says, oh, anything, you know, it's here. There's, you know, it's, if you need something, make it, grow it, you know. It's, so this idea of the consuming of products and goods, services is the very heart of the celestials. It's all service. It's eternal, forever and ever service. And that's the fun part about it, because it isn't limited to, you know, a drudgery. It is expansive in terms of its openness to new experiences and sharing. And this is what I found so intriguing, was how willing some of them were to share, even when they blurted out the name of the place where I was at. This, what is this place? This, oh, it's not New Jerusalem.
Well, that must have been really amazing to have that ship come up to you when you said it was a crystal craft. Do you think the thought adjusters told you to go out in your backyard and look up for them?
It may have been. It may quite have been, because it was the fact that I was being challenged in my belief system to believe that there is no God, no Creator, no high level that made high level being beyond. Comprehension that did all of this, and there is no such thing. That concept I couldn't swallow, and I said, I'll put the challenge out to my concept of the being God. And that was the first thing when I was immobilized. In a sense, they've experienced our wild animal nature before, so essentially, they kind of immobilize you. As soon, I was free to move around when I was in the levitator beam, that blue beam that put me to undercraft. But as soon as I entered in there, they stopped me from being able to move, and I noticed I couldn't move. And then I saw the picture of... not the picture. I saw... my impression, I saw them and I said, they are not human. I was, you know, how dare they come here and impersonate God? You know, I know they're not, and I actually said that, I believe, to Tad. I said, I know you're not God. How dare you come in his place? And that's my feeling was so strong. You know, How dare you pick up on my thoughts and you come over here and you pose as God. Mm-hmm. And that was not it at all. It put me through a whole bit after they really calmed me down, in the sense of just allowed them to essentially embrace me in their love. All fear ran away, all, even the anger that I had, and I began to realize they really are, in a sense, serving and worshiping God, but in a way which is the highest level of their being. It's just all service. It's service. So it's not the consumption of goods, but it is service. So the part we have, the business of heaven, yes.
Nicola asked a question about Nella. He said, Michael, you mentioned that Nella wore black lenses over her eyes before she removed them to reveal her eyes. What is the purpose of those black lenses? It seems that many descriptions of aliens include the big black eyes.
Oh, thanks for the question, Nicola. And, you know, that's another thing. When I first saw them, that's the first thing that I saw, is black eyes and big eyes, and thinking, my thoughts were, I never saw, any other drawings of them prior to that. You know, now it's somewhat common to see this type of humanoid design. When I saw Nella again, when she called me by name, and she allowed me to see her even more. This was after I had been calmed down a bit and realized that they weren't going to hurt me, and they were. Then I realized how much they loved me, and then went beyond that to being so beyond to express the energy that we do not have here. Mota, you might say, it's the ability of full embrace. That happened, and she realized that she freed me up, and I was able to, move around again. And she took off what she says. I remarked to her, and looking at her, I says, "Why? Your eyes are like mine." And then she said, "No, your eyes are like mine." And then I says, "Oh, I thought your eyes are black." She says, "Oh, those are protectors. I don't like them, but we put them on because your son is very strong." So that's all it is shades.
Yeah, shades.
Shades, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, we have about a minute and a half left in the hour. It was good having you back on again, that's for sure. That crystal craft, when you said it had a light glow, or what did you say? It had some kind of glow to it?
Well, it was luminous, beautifully luminous.
Luminous.
Yes. Its own, generating its own light. And a very pure spectrum, initially very white, and then it turned to a bluish-green, and levitators came out, and all the movement happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely a beautiful, beautiful craft of very high technology. Yeah, it didn't seem to be what I would suppose as being a Billy Meyer picture. I couldn't take a Billy Meyer picture of it, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
It would end up becoming a beautiful, beautiful star. Mm-hmm. Bright light. And having a form of a cross with the bottom ring going all the way down. I guess that was the anchor.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's an image on our website from someone from coast to coast sent it in.
Right.
But there goes the hour, Michael, and time to say aloha until next time. And it was fun talking about electricity. And I'm glad Electricity for Health is on there.
Well, I'm glad, because that's the way you can experience some of the Celestial's abilities here already. Much more coming.
All right, well, we'll talk about it again and see what happens next week.
Okay, don't forget to make your great escape.
The great escape?
The great escape. Get out of the tank.
Oh,
the
yes.
Broken system.
Oh, the broken system, yes.
The broken system.
And produce your own electricity.
Yeah, or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, aloha, Michael.
Aloha.
Aloha.